baby. Time to get up.
The dream.
The whole life somehow.
Race the dog!
That dog!
Have you ever felt...
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News.
Hey, wacky Bruce.
Unappreciated.
In the newsroom, we don't wear hairnets.
God.
Why do you hate me?
Have you ever thought life...
What are you doing over there?
...was unfair?
Run!
Have you ever complained about it?
So God is picking on you?
What is that?
The only one around here not doing his job is you!
You must be Bruce.
Who are you?
I'm God.
Please. Okay, how many fingers am I holding up?
7.
Aha!
You've been doing a lot of complaining about me, Bruce. You think you can do it better, so you...
So the trailer asked, have you ever been angry at God? Well, have you? Have you ever had a go at God? Maybe in the privacy of your car or, you know, in your room. Have you accused him of not doing his job properly? Complained that life was unfair? In Bruce Almighty, put your hand up if you've seen it, by the way. It's a 2003 movie, yep. If you haven't, come to Movie Club. Go and see Peter Clark, and maybe he'll put it on one month when we're having film club together. In Bruce Almighty, on one of the worst days of his life, Bruce realizes that his rival gets the promotion that he's always wanted. He embarrasses himself by crying live on television. That's pretty bad. He gets fired from his job, and then he has this extraordinary tantrum at God, throwing stuff, telling God that he should be the one who should be fired instead of Bruce. So let me ask you, have you ever raged at God? Or at least wondered whether he knows what he's doing? So like Bruce, our Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, you stuffed me up now, you guys. Habakkuk brought a complaint before the Lord. And now it's in the Bible for everyone to read about forever. It starts in chapter 1 when Habakkuk is clearly not happy. So listen to his opening statement. It's going to come up on the screen too. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help, but you do not listen? So accusatory, isn't it? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save, God. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? So he's basically saying, God, are you there? Why aren't you responding? Isn't that your job? To which God replied, don't worry. I am going to do something, right? Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. You will be utterly amazed. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. Yes, your enemies. And these guys, they're going to cause you a lot of pain, but I'm doing it because of the issues that you raised, because of what you said. My people need humbling, and I'm going to send the Babylonians. Now, let that sink in for us a little bit, because it's kind of a shocking thing for God to say that. It's like if he was to say, look, I am going to use North Korea to judge South Korea. It's something like that. Or I'm going to use ISIS or another terrorist kind of group against Australia. So, of course, Habakkuk wasn't okay with that, right? Who? Them? Those other people, like, they don't even acknowledge you. We're not perfect. We know that. I confirm that. But they are downright proud. They're obnoxious. They're ungodly. So why would you let them triumph over us? Now, let me ask you, have you ever felt that way? Maybe not on the personal level, but maybe on the corporate level, maybe on the tribal level as a Christian. Like, why does it feel like the church is in decline and the whole world is overcoming us? How come being a Christian at school is sometimes like committing social suicide these days? God, do you know what you're doing? Do you really know? I mean, you promised that you would build your kingdom here on earth and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So in this week's response, God is saying this. God is saying, I know what I'm doing. I'm a God who will act on sin. And if you've ever been appalled by bad human behavior, well, imagine how I feel as God of the universe. So our passage, so wonderfully read out by Zeke, it has five woes in it. Did you hear them? Five woes. Everyone say woe. Woe. No, like everyone, please, say woe. Woe. So you've probably heard people say, you know, woe is me. What does that mean? Woe is me. I'm doomed. There is calamity coming. Woe is me. Woe is like a warning, right? Like a sign. Caution. I personally think it sounds way better in German. Achtung. Everyone say Achtung. Yeah, it's that throatiness of the German that makes it so cool. Be warned, right? God will act on sin. Now, it's pretty scary to come up the front and talk about this because it sounds really mean, right? God woes people. Like, isn't that a bit of a shock to people? Like, woeing is a bit harsh, isn't it? And you might have thought that God doesn't judge. You know, God is a God of love, and that is incompatible with a God of love. But before we start criticizing God, consider the words that Habakkuk and God used to describe the people in question, right? I wrote them all out. Here we go. They're ruthless, they're impetuous, they're feared, dreaded, treacherous, wicked. They're a law unto themselves. They promote their own honor. They're swooping to devour. They're intent on violence. They gather prisoners, mock kings, scoff rulers, destroy without mercy. They are a guilty people whose strength is in their God, whose own strength is their God. So a woe might sound mean, but sometimes it's even meaner if you have the power to change something, but you do nothing. So for the kids, you know, I'm sure that you have no respect for teachers who see bad behavior and don't step in, right? What do you think of teachers like that, who see someone get bullied and they don't do anything about it? Bum bum, right? Yeah, or policemen. Police who rather eat donuts than enforce the law, what do we think about them? Boo. Or governments who choose not to help the people that they're serving, but instead use the people's money, use taxpayers' money to make deals and be embroiled in corruption. What do we think of them? Boo, right? The Hebrew word for woe means ha. Everyone say ha. Ha. Yeah. And this passage is a taunt. And the scholars sometimes call this passage a taunt song. But Zeke, you were right to not sing it as a song. Even the scholars don't sing it as a song. So, ha, says God, people think that they're going to get away with injustice, with things, but they're not. And so, the Lord of the universe tells Habakkuk his standards. He tells us what kind of behavior he is not happy with. So let me go through the five woes. Number one, woe to the ones taking what's not theirs, right? They pile up stolen goods, make himself wealthy by extortion. God's not happy when people look after number one and they don't care who else they trample on. That is utter selfishness, and God is asking people, his people, to live by faith, not by greed. The second woe, where does it start? Woe to him, verse 9, woe to him who builds his house. Hang on a minute, what's wrong with building a house? Yeah, by unjust gain. We have to keep reading. Woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain. It's the unjust gain that God's not happy with when you don't care about who you ruin in the process. And this kind of concept reminds me of the big bosses in corporate America, in corporate Australia, who boot their workers out when they get injured, when they don't give a toss, you know, like they use them to work for them. But when they're in trouble, I don't want to know. Or the banking execs who get million-dollar bonuses while pensioners, mums and dads get caught in the debt cycle and they can't ever escape. Or it's like politicians and leaders of nations who are safe in their palaces and they have entourages and bodyguards protecting them while the peasants starve. These empire builders of the world, they think they're secure, but the very things they have been building will one day testify against them. The stones of the wall will cry out. The beams of the woodwork will echo it. Third woe. So we're at verse 12. Woe to the ones who bring violence, bloodshed, injustice. Imagine the victims who become collateral damage just because powerful men sit in a room and decide to start a war. Imagine the innumerable victims in Afghanistan, in the Ukraine, in Syria. And I pulled this next map off the web. I pulled it off the web yesterday. And this map shows that where the armed conflicts are in the world right now. So there are wars happening in these countries today. They wake up, and the world for them is not safe. We wake up and we hear the birds, right? We soak in the lovely sunshine. But right now in the world, people are not safe. And there is violence, bloodshed, and injustice. So let me ask you, don't you think their suffering matters? Fourth woe. Yikes, this one is a yucky one. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. So making people drunk, then taking advantage of them. And maybe this one will actually hit closer to home for us than, you know, systemic injustice and war, because there are people out there who exploit others' problems. They profit from people's addictions. They lurk around in the dark. They pull away our children. These people get away with trafficking of all kinds and crimes that I don't even want to mention today. Are you with me, church family? Are you with me in being angry as God is angry? Because every person who suffers, every little child who is mistreated, who is victimized, is precious to God, and he will not turn a blind eye. Final woe. And maybe this one doesn't get us right here, but it does reveal the heart of God. Woe to those who lead others astray. Woe to gurus. Woe to cult leaders. Woe to those who have turned people to idols that cannot save them. Spiritual leaders have made a lot of money taking people down dead-end paths, haven't they? Selling schemes, selling ways that just go nowhere to gullible people who are earnestly seeking the truth, earnestly crying out for love. And God says, these people need to be held accountable. So we all have an innate sense of justice, don't we? And I hope yours is getting fired up. I hope that instead of raging at God, we are raging at what's happening in this world, all the rubbish and all the filth that we have to see. And I hope that you are inwardly glad that God cares enough about injustice to name them and promise to deal with them. Friends, what I want you to know today is that God is not doing nothing. He knows what he's doing. And dealing with bullies, dealing with abusers, is not opposed to a God of love. In fact, that is exactly what a God of love would do. With God, there are no cold cases. There's no miscarriage of justice, no unsolved crimes. And that is a great comfort to someone who was formerly in the legal profession, but I think it's great comfort to all of us, isn't it? But there's also a problem that this poses for all of us. Because evil and wickedness, sure, evil and wickedness is out there. But evil and wickedness also lives in here too, doesn't it? In our own hearts, if we're honest. I found a very hard-hitting quote this week by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. It says, it's very tiny. I'll read it out to you. The line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. We might not be as horrid as Babylon, but who can say that they act ethically and morally every time? In Psalm 130, it says, Lord, if you kept a record of wrongs, who could stand? No one could stand. But the great thing for us is that God's judgment is not the last word. Since the beginning of the Bible, God has also been rescuing. He's been saving. He's been forgiving. And that's our second Bible reading for today, right? It named two cases. So what were they? The flood was God's judgment on a depraved world right back in Genesis 6. But God, he singled out one person. Who was it? Noah, right. Sodom and Gomorrah, that was another case. They were cities of appalling atrocities. But he plucked out one person. Who was that? He plucked out Lot. Were they perfect? Is that why he chose them? Nah. Their sin is contained in the Bible for all to see, but they turned to God. They trusted in God. They cried out to God. And our second Bible reading ends like this. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. Guess what? God knows what he's doing, so much that he can do two things at the same time. He can rescue people and he can punish the unrighteous at the same time. He can do both. Can you pat your head and rub your tummy at the same time? Try right now. Yeah? Yeah, some people are multi-talented, they can. You can do that at the same time. God can, what was it? Rescue godly from trials and hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. He can do both. He is that smart and that just and that merciful. So, if this is you, if you are sick and tired of sin, the sin out there, the sin that you face on a daily basis, the sin that you struggle with even in here, if you turn to God, if you want him to wipe away your record, go to Jesus. Meet him not as the just judge, but meet him as the merciful Savior that he is. Jesus will one day act on the woes, but that's not his only job. He also pardons, he also washes, he also cleanses, sanctifies, atones, redeems. And you don't have to twist his arm. You don't have to make a plea bargain with him. He will do so freely. So church family, be amazed. be utterly amazed, because once upon a time, Babylon came as the unrighteous judgment of God. But in the last days, today, and a time coming soon, Jesus will bring righteous judgment, but also offer mercy and hope for those who call on his name. Judgment is for sure, but there is protection and safety found in Jesus. So take heart, he definitely knows what he's doing.